Thank you, Brother Gary. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. Now's your time to escape the service. 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. Now's your time. That is great right there. That is great. A beeline out of here. That's good. Now, this is for 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. I saw some adults get up and leave. I'm not real sure what that means. Am I on? I'm on. I just knocked that off here, Brother Gary. What in the world? All right. Well, Brother Gary sung on what I've been preaching on for the last five Sunday services. And tonight, God willing, we'll conclude this little mini-series on the love of God. And as we study the love of God, I remind you that this is how He loves us. This is why everybody can get help with this message. And then we're applying this thought, applying application to our marriages, specifically our marriages. So if you're married tonight, I want you to think about your mate right now. Think about them. Get them in your mind. If they're sitting beside you, snuggle up close to them if you want to do that. That'll be good. All these kind of things. Now, some of you are scooting further and further apart. What's that? No, I'm just kidding with you there. I'm just playing with you. But I remind you now that we've been talking about the agape love of God. That's the Greek word when just translated love and charity and things like that in the Word of God. But I remind you, this is not a gripey love, like Miss Charlotte said. And I was thinking earlier today, some people would call it a grumpy love. You know what I'm saying? But it's not. It's not a gripey or a grumpy love. It's agape love. It's God's love. It's supernatural love. It's the love that is not natural. And if you're going to build your marriage on this, you need God to do it. Because it's not your love. It's not something you can muster up in yourself. It's not something you can say, I'm going to love you like that. You can't do that. But God can. And God wants you to come to Him, surrender to Him, be filled with His Spirit. Let Him love your mate through you. And also He wants us to love one another like this same agape love. This is part 6. And God willing, this will be the concluding sermon tonight for this. This is being recorded. If you'd like to have my notes, my type notes, I'd be happy to give them to you. Just let us know. I'd be happy to send them to you by email or print them off and let you just have a hard copy, whatever you want there, be fine. But that burden rests on you now, okay? You let me know if you want them and I'll be happy to give it to you. That'll be a good thing. These have been great thoughts on the love of God. And we're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's pray together. We're going to pick up now in verse number 7. This is part 6 to this message on the love of God and how He wants us to love one another the way He loves us, specifically our marriages. Father, would You bless this, I pray. Challenge us from the Word of God. Help us to understand. May Your will be done tonight, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse number 7. Already gave you the first one in that verse, beareth all things. That's where we left off this morning. Now we pick up with this one. Agape love, the love of God, how God loves me and how we should love each other, specifically our marriages, our husbands and wives. Right here it is, the next one. Agape love, charity, believeth all things. Believeth all things. What does that mean? Does that mean it's going to believe a lie and everything else? I mean that's all things, right? Come on, friends. What this means is a great, great thought for our marriages tonight. This phrase means that agape love is not suspicious. It means it wants to see the best in people and give the benefit of the doubt. It means it trusts. It believes in. It has confidence in the one that is loved. You know, agape love does not cast doubt. And it doesn't go around negative all the time. It shows belief in the other person. It's been put this way, and I quote, love always places the best possible interpretation on everything that happens. It does not always seek the most negative answer, but it believes that good will triumph in any situation. I want to ask you a question. Now, don't jump ahead of me here, okay? When I ask this, don't jump ahead of me. Do you trust your mate? Do you trust your husband? Do you trust your wife? Do you believe in your mate? Do you have confidence in your mate? Now, I know what some people may be thinking. Pastor, you don't know some things. Let me say this. This does not mean that your mate has not done something to make you suspicious. Unfortunately, we live in a day when there's a lot of mates who are making their mates suspicious, and that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. By the way, it's okay to say amen every now and then, okay? It's ridiculous for a mate to do anything to cause doubt and suspicion. That's ridiculous. It doesn't mean that your mate has not done something that's made you suspicious, but it means this. It believeth all things. What's it mean? It means your outlook on marriage is positive. It's not negative. It's not, what's the use? It's over with. That's not agape love. Let me ask you a question. Are you constantly defeated in your marriage? Are you constantly negative? And listen to this. Are you breeding doubt or trust in your home? Is your home a trusting home? A believing home? Let me ask you this. When's the last time you told your mate, honey, I trust you? I trust you. And I believe even though things can be untrustworthy and people can become untrustworthy, what I'm saying is, when's the last time you looked at your mate and says, listen to me now, maybe things are great, I hope they are. Maybe things are bad, I hope they're not. But what I'm saying to you is, no matter where you're at, is your outlook on your marriage, God can help us have the marriage that we both dream about having. It believes all things. It trusts. It shows confidence. It doesn't walk around like this. Oh, it's terrible. That's not agape love. Agape holds its chin high even when times are tough and says, I believe that we can go on for God. That's agape love. Let me give you another one. It only believeth all things. These two are kind of intertwined here. That's why I'm quickly going to this next one, because these two are very similar. Notice this in verse number 7. It not only believes all things, it hopeth all things. It hopeth all things. This means that it expects a good outcome. It anticipates good. It hopes the best concerning somebody else. It refuses to accept failure. It's been said, and I quote, when there is no place left for believing good of a person, then love comes in with its hope. Love always expects the best possible outcome. It refuses to accept failure. It is the eternal optimist. Love always holds out hope that things will work out right in the end. According to my study, this where it says hopeth all things, it believeth all things, hopeth all things, put all that together, here's what it means. Agape love believes God. It has faith in God, not in self, not in the mate, but faith in God. Let me ask you a question. Could I be talking to a husband or a wife who believes that your situation is beyond repair? Could I be talking to a husband or wife who believes that your marriage is over and your mate will never change? They'll just never change. It's over with. May I say this to you? That is not agape love talking. That's flesh talking. Because agape love, it hopeth all things. It says this, I know it's bad, I know it's terrible, but my God can. That's agape love. Agape love believes God. The Bible says in Psalm 42:5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. Agape love believes all things. It's not negative. It hopeth all things. It believes God. It believes that God can. Psalm 71:5 says, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Psalm 71 verse 14, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Agape love believeth all things, hopeth all things. Look at the last phrase in verse number 7. Here's the next one. It endureth all things. You say, boy, man, that's what I'm doing in my marriage. Amen. Preach it right there, brother. I'm enduring is what I'm doing. Well, let me say this to you. Agape love will endure. It just endures. This means agape love stays under. It undergoes. It bears trials. May I say this to all of us? Every marriage has trials. Every marriage. It's going to come. It's just natural. But agape love has fortitude. It perseveres. It holds up under pressure. It holds the line. It will not stop. It bears up under persecutions and mistreatment. It extinguishes all inclinations to revenge. It just refuses to give up the fort. In other words, it's like somebody, it just will not quit. It's just going to stay put. It's there, and it's not going to give up the fort. It's all in this phrase here. It means it stands its ground, and it continues in spite of everything that can be thrown against it. It continues in spite of persecution. It continues in spite of ill treatment. Love bears the unbearable, believes the impossible, holds on to the incredible, and never gives up. The word stop does not exist in the vocabulary of agape love. Look here, please. God will never stop loving you. Amen or not tonight. See, this is His love we're talking about. Not our love, His love. It's supernatural love. And this is the love that He says, I want you to love one another with this love. Husbands, love your wives as I love the church. It's the same love that are to be in marriages. That's what I'm applying it to because it's February, love month, you get it, all these kind of things. That's what we're applying it to here. And this love here endures all things. It's the attitude of Job in Job 13:15 when he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Illustration of this is one of our great hymns of the faith. One of our great hymns of the faith entitled, It Is Well With My Soul. This is one of the best loved hymns of the faith. It was written by a man by the name of Horatio Spafford. Many of you know the story even better than I do, but just bear with me here. Mr. Spafford was a wealthy businessman in Chicago, and he lost much of his real estate holdings in the great Chicago fire. After the fire, he sent his wife and four daughters on ship to Europe, intending to join them later for a time of just rest, as well as to assist Moody and Sankey with a revival in Great Britain. But the voyage was struck by disaster, and Spafford received a cable from his wife with the painful message of two words, and it was the two words, saved alone, saved alone. His daughters had gone down in a shipwreck or whatever happened there and had drowned in that deep water. Spafford quickly made arrangements to join his wife. And when they reached the spot where his daughters had drowned, in other words, he's going across that same place, and when they reached the spot approximately there, apparently, this is where your daughters met their death, right here is where they went under. When they got to that place, Spafford marked that sad event with the words of hope, and he penned these words that we sing. By the way, we're not going to get rid of the hymnal. Somebody say amen there, please. I mean, I'm going to tell you, friends, you can't beat songs like this. When a man through trials and tribulations sits down and God flooding through him, and he writes the words, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. You know what that's a picture of? Enduring all things. Hard. Terribly hard at times. But just will not quit. Just will not stop. I'm telling you tonight that I don't care what you do, God will never stop loving you. Now that, when you really understand that, it doesn't make you want to say, woohoo, let me go do something against him now. No. Doesn't that truth make you want to stay close to him? Please him? Because you know we don't deserve that love, don't you? I don't deserve for God to love me. I mean, good night, friends. Look how often we sin against him. Look how often we break his heart. But I'm glad that no matter what I do, I know down in the depths of my soul, I know God loves me. Does your mate? Do they know? That no matter what happens, you're just going to endure all things. By the way, I hope that doesn't mean that's all you have to do is endure, okay? I hope you enjoy. But isn't it interesting how the Word of God just plows on our row? Why would He not say, the love here, agape, charity, enjoyeth all things? It doesn't say that, does it? Let me tell you why, because it's easy to enjoy. Amen. But He knows it'd be hard to endure. It endureth all things. Then we have a final thing here. Before I get to it, let me ask you a question. Are you experiencing trials? Are you experiencing mistreatment or the like with your mate? Now, I will say this. If a mate is and I trust this is not happening in this church. Amen. But there are mates who their life is in danger because their mate beats the living daylights out of them and threatens their life. Endureth all things doesn't mean you're in the same household all the time. Sometimes it might be good to separate for safety. I didn't say divorce, I said separate for safety. I think the Lord's prompting that right there, okay? I'm not saying, hey, I don't care. Hey, he's got a knife to your throat. You just need to endure that all the way through the end. No, you need to tell somebody about that, and then maybe we can get somebody to beat the daylights out of him. Amen. That's not very loving, is it? Forgive me, Lord. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. He pricked my heart right there, but hey, I am just human being, you know. Let me give you the final thing here. Agape love, charity. Move to verse number 8. This love that God loves us with, that we should love our mate with, we should love one another with. Look at verse number 8. Charity never faileth. It never fails. What this means is it never drops away. It's never driven out of its course. It's the opposite of what the Bible says in Mark 13:25, where it says, and the stars of heaven shall fall. They will come unglued and fall. It's the opposite here. It's also the opposite of what 1 Peter 1:24 says, where it talks about the grass withereth and the flowers thereof falleth away. It's the opposite of that. In other words, it will never fall. It will never wither. It will never fall away. It never ceases to exist. It is eternal, imperishable, and immortal. It is permanent. Spurgeon said this, it is an unwithering flower. That's what it says. This verse even shows how other important things would fail. Look at verse number 8. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. All of these things here were important in God's plan for a time, for a temporary time. You understand? Now that's another message, okay? When we preach through this book, God willing, if I ever get to it, we'll preach on tongues and different things like that. That's not here. But the Bible plainly says right here, whether they be tongues, they shall cease. And they have ceased. They have ceased when the canon of Scripture was done. That's another sermon. But these important things, prophecies and tongues and knowledge, those things were important, but the Bible says they will fail, they will cease, but charity never does. When everything else in this world has passed away, when knowledge and spiritual gifts no longer matter, God's love still exists. It's the great constant throughout eternity. The idea is one of endurance. When other things have been removed from view, there will still be God's love. It doesn't give in, it doesn't give up, it doesn't give out. Love that is real love. I'm talking about God's love. That's real love. You understand? God's real love will last forever. Forever. Throughout eternity. So how long is God going to love me? Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Isn't that a blessing tonight? The point is agape love never becomes inefficient. It never ceases. You ever heard this? I just don't love her anymore. I just don't love him anymore. That is not agape love that they're talking of. That has to be phileo love, like brotherly love, like a friend, or it has to be eros love, which is physical love, sexual love, but it cannot be agape love, because agape love, which is what we're to build our marriages on, is the love of God, and God's love. God will never say, I don't love Jody anymore. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friends, that ought to comfort your heart tonight right there. I'm saying God will never fall out of love with you. Amen. Amen. He's married to me and I'm married to him. Don't I make a beautiful bride? I'm telling you tonight, I'm glad that he will never stop loving me, ever. Dr. Clarence Sexton said this, and I agree with this. He said the greatest promise, listen to this, the greatest promise the Lord Jesus has given to us is found in Hebrews 13:5, where he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now let me say this, because again, I said this at the first of this series, some of the finest people in our church, and I mean this, I mean, God knows my heart, some of the finest people in our church have been divorced. I am not trying to throw punches tonight. You know your pastor better than that. I'm asking you to apply it to where you are today. Your marriage now. Who you're with now. Don't live in the past. It's over with. Bury it. Gone. But apply this to today and say, God, help me have a love that never fails. Never fails. Help me be able to look at my wife, look at my husband and say, honey, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I hope this is not true. But it's possible in a crowd this size that the man may just be waiting on the wife to lean over in the privacy of their own home and say, honey, I just want to remind you, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. There could be a wife right now, I hope not, but there could be a wife right now that they are torn all to pieces and the only thing they need to hear is their husband leaning over in the privacy of their own home or during the invitation, just private, between them and God. That's it. Lean over and say, honey, I know it's hard, but I just want to remind you, I love you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Let me ask you a question. Why would you not do that? Why would you not do that? Because I'll tell you one thing, it's terrible in my home. Okay, it's terrible on Jesus too, but he loved you anyway. He stays with you anyway. And he doesn't want you torn up all the time. He wants you at peace. You may leave him, but he'll never leave you. Amen. You know what this stuff is right here? This is just practical preaching. That's all it is. It's nuts and bolts. Stuff to build your life on. It never ceases. Does your mate know your love will never end? Do they know that? Say, well, sure. I told him when I got married, and I said, if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know, okay? Come on, friends. You know what we need today? I'm not just talking about marriages. I'm talking about just in Christianity. We need some men to rise to their feet and say, I will lead my home. And I'm going to let everybody in my home know that if the world falls apart, I will always love my family. I will always care about my family. and I'm going to build my home on agape love. Men, that's your responsibility. Well, let me say, that's our responsibility. It never fails. By the way, I remind you, I know that this is the kind of preaching, it's like I was telling folks in the prayer meeting, if you leave these sermons and say, man, I'm doing great, then you're not listening, okay? These thoughts don't make us feel good about ourselves. It shows us where we need God. Don't you understand? God, help me to do that. Help me to have that. Only you can do that, God. I mean, that's impossible. You're starting to get it. Amen. Amen. You're starting to get it. Listen, Pastor Jody, you're ridiculous. I know. Amen. I get it. I understand all that. There's no way I could love my mate like that. There's no way. You're right, because you're talking about you, your flesh. I agree with you. You can't. But he can. You going to let him do it? You're just going to rejoice in all of this stuff and beg God to bless your marriage and just determine, I'm never going to fail. I'm never going to stop loving her. I'm never going to stop, and I'm going to tell them so. I'm going to stay so in love with God that it's impossible for me to move. I'm talking about impossible for me to fall out of love with my mate. John 13:1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, listen to this, he loved them unto the end. He loved them unto the end. By the way, the love here is the agape love. Here's the love of God, Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Listen to this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You glad he loves you like that? He just says, I don't care how high it is, how low it is, how wide it is. I don't care if it's angels, principalities, powers, things present, things things absent, things that are temporary, things that are eternal, things you see and things you don't see. Nothing will ever stop God from loving us. And my wife needs to know that that's how I love her. Let come what may. My wife needs to know that her husband loves her with an eternal love, God's love, and that I'll never leave her. I'll never forsake her. As long as I am with God where I need to be. If you ever hear, Pastor Jody left his wife, number one, get rid of me immediately. Amen. You can say amen right there, friends. Okay? Get rid of me immediately. But I'm going to tell you something. If you ever hear that happens, you know my problem was not with my wife. My problem was with God. In your heart, you know that's right, don't you? This is it. Nothing will ever separate us from the agape love of God. There will never be a time when his love for us fails. He will never leave, never forsake. And our mate should be able to say the same about our love for them. Can your mate say this about your love? Do they know you will never leave them? Do they know you will never forsake them? Do they know that no matter what, you will always love them? Do they know that? Do they know that? Mark 10:6-9 says this, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Now, let me conclude all of this. Again, this is part six to this series. I encourage you, if you've not been here, to go get the first five parts, okay? You say, I didn't like tonight. Why would I go get those? But anyway, there was a man who only had an eighth grade education. And this man wanted to be a soul winner. God had laid a brilliant attorney on his heart, a lawyer. He obeyed the Lord and went to talk to the lawyer about Jesus Christ. But no sooner had he begun when the attorney used his legal training and just his brilliant mind to turn the man inside out. Just because this man had an eighth grade education, and just with all of this lawyer talk, he was twisting him inside and out. The man finally apologized for coming and for taking the attorney's time. He left with tears in his eyes. And he said to the lawyer, and I quote, I just want you to know that I came because I love you. I love you. The man was dejected. He went home to his wife and he said, I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to talk to anybody the rest of the day. I just want to go to my room, be left alone. I feel like such a failure. About an hour later, the lawyer came and knocked on the man's door. He told the man's wife he'd like to see her husband. She said, I'm sorry, but he's not seeing anybody today. Oh, the lawyer said, I think he'll see me. Just tell him who I am. So the husband allowed the attorney to come into his room, and he said, why have you come? Have you come to make fun of me? Have you come to argue with me again? Because you know I can't argue with you. The lawyer said, no, I haven't come to argue with you. I have come to ask you to tell me how to be saved. The man said, I don't understand. What changed your mind? Every time I tried to tell you about Jesus, you came up with an argument that I couldn't answer. The lawyer said, yes, I did. But you came up with an argument that I couldn't answer. So when he looked at him and said, what was that? He said, when you looked at me and told me you loved me, I couldn't argue with that. Nothing will win the victory over others and over circumstances like the love of God. It is love, God's love, that makes the difference. My friends, taking every other thing you hold in great value tonight and placing them aside, that is forgetting about your talents and your gifts and your potential and your positions and anything else you want to mention, how is your love? Do you love like God? I think we need to learn to love like Jesus so we can reach our world so that we can have the right kind of atmosphere in our own house. And as we start to come to a close tonight, God wants us to love one another the way He loves us. Look here, please. Whatever you may be going through, whatever circumstances may have hit your life and your marriage, the love of God can correct it. It can correct it. That doesn't mean that there will not be steps to take. You understand? That doesn't mean that there won't be things to work on. I'm not saying that. But what needs to be the driving force? What needs to be the one thing that keeps you going? And it is this. It is not your husband. It is not your wife. It is the everlasting, eternal, unselfish, unending love of God. You with me tonight? We okay tonight? We're better than okay. Because I'm going to tell you something. That's how He loves me. Amen. And that's how He's told me to love my beautiful bride. I hope she doesn't mind to do this. I'd like her to come up here with me for just a moment. If you don't mind, Becky, come on up here with me for just a moment. It's good to see Ellie. I'm glad you're here. That is my niece. I am her great uncle. I didn't say greatest, I just said great. We're glad you're here. This is my beautiful bride. Many years ago, preacher, just like Miss Lashley, she proposed to me. And it was a great day. Now, I'm just kidding with you. And I want you to know something about this beautiful lady right here. She's got it bad for me. Bad. All kidding aside, I can honestly tell you, and she's standing right here with me. She can say anything she wants to. I know she's scared to death to do that probably, but we are living proof that it works. It works. But we also know that for us to have this marriage that we have now and for it to get better and better, I can't do that for her. She can't do that for me. That's why every morning when she gets out of the bed, the first thing basically that she does is grab her Bible. Well, probably the first thing is get her a cup of coffee, but anyway. And grab her Bible and walk with God. First thing I do, barring an emergency, you understand, like called out for something, but is I get out of the bed, grab my Bible, and walk with God. We love you. God loves you through us. And she knows, I'm telling you the truth, we are trying to build our relationship on Him, not on us. You with me out there, friends? Now, do you see how blessed she is to have somebody like me? I mean, everybody get that? Ellie, she's blessed. I mean, you know what I mean? Son, blessed. I mean, you understand? That's not agape love talking, is it, right? We love you all. And we want you to have the marriage that only God can give you. You can have it. If you let God give it to you. Amen. Brother Gary, why don't we begin this invitation time? My wife is here. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Every invitation that we give, the altar's open, first of all, for somebody who needs to trust Christ as their Savior. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, why don't you come, let us take a Bible and share the gospel with you. In just a moment when I pray, my wife and I are going to make our way down to the altar together. And we're going to pray for our marriage. And I want to ask you, will you join us? When you respond, it doesn't mean your marriage is in trouble. It could mean that your marriage is as good as any marriage on planet Earth, but God's using this, and you just come to the altar and say, God, thank you for what we have. May it never change. You understand? I don't know how our marriage can get any better. I mean that. But I know God wants it to get better and better. I think as the old preacher said, gooder and gooder. You see what I'm saying? So I'm going to pray. We won't have any singing, Brother Gary. We'll just play through something tonight. And as soon as I say amen, I'm going to make my way to the altar with my bride. Men, how about you? Father, would you bless this and give us the homes and marriages that you desire us to have. Help us to be faithful. Help us to trust you. And bless tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, before I say amen, maybe some of you teenagers would like to come to the altar with us as well. and say, "Oh God, help me find the mate of your choice. And may we have the marriage that God wants us to have." Be a good thing to pray about that teenager right now. From the balcony down below, will you join me? Father blessed, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, they're playing through. Men, if you want to bring your bride to the altar, let's pray together. Come on now, would you do it? Playing through softly, there's two special requests that I'd like us to end our time tonight in prayer. One of them is the bus ministry. We need laborers. We need workers. There's a man here singing at the funeral service for Elmer Smith. Police officer in Jonesboro. Big, big, big black man. Loves God. They ask him to sing. He's walking around this platform and God used him. Beautiful voice. Come to find out he rode the bus to Buffalo Ridge as a kid. Isn't that something? Bus ministry is not for everybody, I know that. But it's for some people. And I'll guarantee you this, God is pleased with those buses running up and down the highways. It's the heart of your pastor to put more buses on the road. because there's so many places we're not even capable of touching because we just don't have workers. So what are you doing, trying to guilt us? No, I'm just trying to get you to pray because the Lord said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, and he'd send forth laborers into his harvest. Hey, you shouldn't be afraid to pray about it. Amen? Don't be afraid to pray. God send laborers to the bus ministry. We're going to pray about that. And my, how we need to pray for Sarah Briggs. What a precious, precious girl. She's gone through it. 24 years old. She came through the brain surgery. Praise God for that. She's showing some signs, some good signs. I was told today that she squeezed her daddy's hand when her daddy said, do you want a blanket? And she squeezed his hand. I said, yes. It's good to pray. I want to invite you. I want all of us to pray, but if the Lord's laying on your heart from the balcony, down below, if you want to gather up here on the altar, I want you to come now, men and women together. Let's pray about these laborers for our bus ministry. Let's pray for Sarah. Let's end our time together tonight praying for Sarah, praying for bus workers, praying for this. We need to pray more and more and more. No doubt about it. If God's leading you to come, come on. He's not going to lead all of you. I know that. But I hope you'll make an altar of your seat. I hope you'll pray right there where you're at. We're going to pray and ask God to touch these things, bless these things, answer these prayer requests. Amen. Father, we love you tonight and we thank you for the privilege to pray. And I pray for these two special requests. There's a lot to pray for tonight, but these are two special requests that's on my heart. Lord, I pray for the bus ministry. Thank you for divine protection for over 50 years. And I pray that this protection will last until Jesus comes. But right now, Lord, we're in desperate need of workers. We need workers. We need laborers. And you've told us to pray the Lord of the harvest that you'll send forth laborers into your harvest. And I pray right now that you'll be working in the heart of your church, the heart of the Christians who call this church their church home. Whoever it is that you desire to become a bus worker, just a worker, to help on these routes, to help keep these routes up and running, going on for God. I pray you help them to be sensitive. May they be obedient. May they say yes. You have a will in this, and I pray you make it obvious to them. It's a big commitment, but it's a worthy commitment. What a worthy commitment it is. And I pray that you'll send forth laborers according to your will and plan. And then, Lord, we think of Sarah. We think of her right now as she's lying in that hospital bed. We thank you for the good news that she is showing some progress. Lord, it seems like there's progress and then a setback. Progress and a setback. And I pray, if it's your will, that you help the progress to continue. I pray that if it be your precious will, that you will touch her and heal her. Do what only you can do and you get all the glory. May you do something, dear God, that even the doctors themselves say only God could do that. Lord, that's my prayer request, that you do something where no man gets the praise, but where you get the praise. Please help Bobby and Darren, the brother's sister. God, encourage them. Give them peace. May the will of God be done, I pray. We love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. And help us to hold these prayer requests up before you. And keep the devil out of this church, I pray.
the will of God going forward. We love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness. Come in thy fullness. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. We dismiss all the teenagers and their parents to be dismissed.